you join us in a salute to the flag?
With the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting is now called to order in line with the Borough of Seabright's longstanding policies of open government and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act. I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting has been sent to the Asbury Park Press and other local newspapers on November 15, 2016. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. This meeting is open to the public. Councilmembers Birdsall.
Here.
Keeler.
Mm-hmm.
Lamia.
Here.
Lexi.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
We're going to start with remarks from the audience. If there's anybody who wishes to be heard on any issue. Yes, Mr. Keeler.
Say if we could go into executive session, let's make a motion to go into executive session first. Just a couple of them. Come back out.
Okay, may we do our remarks from the audience first, just in case there's anybody who wishes to say something and get out of here? Okay, and then we'll be taking our agenda out of order. We'll do the executive session first and then come back for the consent to the old business meeting. Before we get started, who wishes to be heard on any issue? Tom.
Good evening, everyone. Thomas Bonfiglio, Tony's Tavern of Top, 1030 Ocean Avenue, Seabright, New Jersey. Just a general comment for the record. I understand the resolution and the renewal. Is this the time to talk about the liquor license?
Sure. Any issue?
Okay. I just was curious as to why we wanted to reiterate what the planning board had already approved in the license. So that means basically every licensed premise in the whole town should have their planning board resolutions recited in the renewal. Because I kind of feel like mine all day, Rob's been working with my attorney for the last few days, and it mimics it identically. I don't have a problem with it because I'm going to comply with it. But I'm just curious as to why is it included in my license and not every renewal? Because everyone has conditions from the planning board, and why we felt the need to put it in my renewal. That was my question.
Let me address that. As I explained to Mr. Mandia, we were going back and forth over the past week or so discussing it. We didn't incorporate all the conditions of your planning board approval. We only incorporated those that were designed to ensure that there would be a minimization of disturbance to surrounding residential areas. And that's something that falls within the authority of the council as the local alcoholic beverage control board. So the conditions that apply to other aspects of your approvals, we didn't incorporate as part of the liquor license, but those that pertain to the operation of the premises in relationship to how it might impact upon neighboring properties or compliance with alcohol beverage control laws and regulations, we incorporated those as part of your license, and that's an appropriate thing for the council to do, to use those special conditions as a way to make you aware of it from the APC standpoint.
So is all the other licensees in this town, any conditions that are in their planning board approvals, is that also included in their renewals?
Well, actually, there are other special conditions being imposed on certain licenses.
Right.
There are none that we went back and looked at planning board conditions.
Right.
And because I don't think anything would be appropriate, we haven't brought anything that's been brought to our attention that would be appropriate to do that. And every license is a separate and distinct item. It's a separate and distinct operation, and there's nothing that says that it's necessary or even appropriate to impose the same conditions or the same types of conditions in every life.
No, I get that everyone has different conditions, but the exact, what the planning board approved and is in a resolution and that I fully intend to comply with, that we felt the need to put it into the renewal. And
well,
I just wasn't sure if everyone was, sometimes I feel that I'm discriminating. basically, I just want everyone to be treated fairly. So if Donovan's has the planning board approval, but he has restrictions on the way he can consume his alcohol on his premises, that those conditions of his planning board hearing are incorporated into his license also. And that anyone that has a condition that the planning board imposed as it relates to the ABC or any consumption of liquor is included in there. I just don't want to be the only guy in town that has what the planning board had approved reiterated in my license. Because now it becomes a different way of enforcement.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden the police has enforcement authority over my conditions of my planning board approval. It's not that it's a code enforcement issue or anything else, it becomes a liquor license.
No, it's this body that has enforcement authority, not the police department per se. The police department can bring violations of those conditions to the council's attention. But it's the council that has the enforcement authority on ABC matters.
No, but
the reality is, let me finish.
Okay.
The reality is that, let's take Donovan's as an example. Donovan's recently went through a planning board application and has conditions imposed on it by the planning board.
Right.
Donovan's has been open for about 5 minutes. There's no experience, there's no history, there's no issue that's ever been brought to the attention of the mayor and council about the Donovan's operation. Now, we may be sitting here next year considering conditions upon Donovan's, depending on what happens in the interim. In your situation, in the year and a half that I've been here, we have had any number of issues brought to our attention here at the mayor and council level about the operation of your establishment. So having discussed what's the best way to approach that and to try to resolve those issues, having just been before the planning board, and the planning board, after a lengthy hearing, having come up with certain specific things that deal with operation, the mayor and council felt that it would be appropriate to incorporate those as part of your license. So it's based on a pattern of conduct as well as the recent planning board activity.
We wanted it to be consistent with what you said, what you stated on the record your operation would be. We wanted a liquor license to reflect accurately what your statements were. So the other liquor licenses that were approved do have conditions on them. Some of them have not been to the planning board in many years, and so there's different sets of facts for each establishment. So it's really not feasible to say everybody should meet their planning board approval because some do not have a current planning board approval. It's you and it's Donovan's.
It's also an annual process. That, as Mr. McLaughlin and the mayor said, next year there might be other conditions on other license holders. There may be an easing on some, a more restrictive on others.
Like I said, I fully intend to comply with that. I just wanted to make sure that I was being treated fairly like everyone else in town. I don't have a problem with what it says. I just wanted to understand why I was repeating. Thank you.
Thomas Marr, 1124, liquor license. You're applying some conditions to my reno. I want to know the reason why.
There's only one condition on your statement.
The outdoor music after 10.
Sorry?
Music after 10.
No amplified library recorded music.
Doesn't that apply to everybody?
You're already after 10 p.m.
Doesn't that apply to everybody with a liquor license in town?
Yes.
So why is it, it's not written down their liquor license, but it is written into mine. Why is that?
It is written into everybody's.
No, it's not everybody.
But why was I singled out then?
Well, it's up to the council to explain that. My recollection of the discussion was that there had been issues in the past from your location and somewhat of a lack of cooperation, so that it made sense.
I'm a whole new entity then.
I understand that, but the license itself is, and the license premises is what we deal with regardless of ownership. And the thought was that to bring it to your attention as the current owner, but as the licensee, that's something that the council considered important, so they wanted to put that as a condition on the license.
And the mayor had asked me a question on this. The chief of police went through conditions on all the licenses and certain problems and items that he wanted council to take into consideration. And during that work session, John Sorrentino, our chief, made a recommendation that that be one of the conditions on that license. Is that correct, Chief?
That's correct, yes.
What is, if, it seems like there is an objection to, what is the condition that's objectionable for you, Tom?
Oh, that you're asking me to have a condition on my license that you haven't put on other licenses and other premises that I actually do have music nightly and every weekend. I don't know. I have one guy come on a Sunday evening for a couple of hours. You're not putting restrictions on the beach walk or what do you call it?
Well, as long as it ends by 10, then it's okay.
What's that?
I said, as long as it ends by 10.
Which applies to everybody, right?
Well, again, as I
explained, you specifically are putting it on mine.
Look, don't take it personally, because it's not aimed at you. It's aimed at the operation of the licensed establishment. And it's designed to resolve, try to avoid an issue that's happened in the past. So it's bringing it to your attention. It means that if you were to violate it, you could be charged with a violation of that condition here as a disciplinary matter. You have to,
as opposed to a violation,
but it's certainly not a burdensome condition.
Right. I understand that. But you're not applying the same to other premises, so you're singling me out.
So just explain to the licensee that came up before you, there. The council is supposed to deal with each individual licensed premises on an individual basis. Not, we don't put conditions on everybody just for the sake of putting conditions on everybody.
Right. But you do have the condition or a code or a zoning that after 10 p.m. you can't have live music, right?
Yes, and you could be written a summons for that. But
that applies to everybody.
Yes, it does.
But you spell it out on mine, so
as a matter of regulatory authority, the council felt it appropriate to bring it to your attention as the licensee that was an important issue with respect to your license premises.
Right. But other premises had violations from having music after 10 p.m., right?
It was an important issue as to your license premises. That's why it's on your license.
Right.
But each property is dealt with individually.
I get it.
And each one has a set of conditions unique to its location and the specific concerns expressed, you know, by this governing body, by the police department, and by the neighbors.
Right.
Relating to each property. It's not meant to be discriminatory. It's meant to provide some teeth, as you will, so that if someone's decided to thumb their nose at our code and say, well, I don't care, I'm just going to have music after 10 o'clock, you get a ticket. And, you know, to some, that might just be your regular cost of business to some property owners, some business owners. So by making it a condition of the liquor license, it actually does have some enforcement teeth for this governing body. And prior to this year, there was no restriction on liquor licenses at all. They were not really, the licensed premises were not established, the conditions were not established. So this is a new thing that the council is doing beginning this year, meeting as an ABC board and reviewing each of the licensed premises. So this is not something that has been done before. It's new this year, so I understand that. And if there's something that's specifically objectionable, I'd ask you to talk to Mr. Bruni about it or talk to our police chief about it, and we'll see if there's any flexibility there.
Right. I guess it's something new, but it's only been applied to me.
No, sir. You just heard Mr. Bonfiglio complaining about his conditions.
On his premises, but... But the premises that have music on a regular basis, you didn't apply it to them.
They do have it, sir.
They do have the same restriction on it?
I don't think anything's
I don't think it's written on their renewal, right?
There were five or six licenses that have conditions this year that didn't have conditions before.
Right.
So it's not just you, it's not just the gentleman before.
And again, as he, as Roger mentioned earlier, Mr. McLaughlin mentioned earlier, when Donovan's comes up for their review next year, we'll probably have similar restrictions on theirs due to their history this year, depending, you know, depending on their history this year.
I don't think I have a history.
Well, you, sir, do not.
That's what you're wrong.
The premises does, so.
Let me just explain this to you. If you buy a liquor license, you buy the history. I don't know if you understand that, but if you buy a license that had been suspended three times for violating the same condition, and you violated it the fourth time, and the council said, well, we gave you 5 days suspension, 10 days suspension, 15, now we're going to give you 30, it doesn't matter that you're the new licensee. It's the license that's penalized.
Right.
So you buy whatever the history is of your license, you now own.
Okay.
That's the law in New Jersey, and it's very clear.
Very good. Thank you.
Any remarks in the audience? Welcome. Christina Bonino's from 1054 Ocean Avenue. I was here at the last meeting about my neighbor at 1056 Ocean Avenue. I'm sure everybody knows the building very well. So at the last meeting, I requested, you know, some information. I know that she got an extension from the judge, but how long is this extension? You know, there's a sign up now that there's some contractor, which I've seen many times, like in the almost 5 years that I've owned this building. There's usually a sign up, but there's never a worker, there's never a nail, a hammer, anything going on. So I...
There has been an order issued by our construction official that certain things have to be done by certain dates.
Yes, I understand
that. And those dates are coming up.
Right. Well,
within the next 30 days.
You know, that's the question.
That's
that
where
I,
we are.
You know, I want some concrete dates. Like, I mean, you know, I don't, you know, I've done a lot of construction. I wasn't given like a year. I was given 6 weeks. I was given 8 weeks. But
if you stop in here tomorrow,
right?
I'll
but
send
I
Chris,
kind of.
Well, let me finish. You
well, I've been
you
requesting this information for about 3 months.
You want a concrete thing?
Okay.
I'll send a copy of the order over to Chris that she could give to you, so you'll have concrete dates when these things have to be done.
Okay.
And you've been very patient, Ms. Greenup.
Right, but I just note that I've asked for this date like many times. So if you're saying that it's going to be delivered, great. But you know, so
okay, well, it's first time.
Chris, do you have a way to get in touch with Ms. Greenup?
I think contact with Karen.
Okay, so our borough clerk, Chris Pfeiffer, she's very diligent on following up to make sure you get it. Pam Ross, 6 Peninsula. I see renewal of a lot of licenses, but I don't see a list of the conditions. Is there anywhere to view that per each establishment?
They should be on the license if there is a condition.
It's written in the resolutions, so there all the resolutions are back there, so the conditions are reflected in the resolution of approval.
Yeah, they're on the board.
Oh, they are over there? Okay. That's what I'm trying to do. I didn't see anything.
Okay.
They're hanging up on the bulletin board.
Any other remarks in the audience?
Council 433 Ocean Terrace, Long Branch. Two quick things, I'm going to be brief. We made a statement at the last council meeting about an individual from the DEP and issues to be discussed. And they stated there were no issues. For the record, for the 516 council meeting resolution 103, was discussed with the DEP. The issue being the wording, the issue being the process in the resolution, the issues being Title River access points, and the issues being waivers and the access issues involved, along with other issues. The day after the mayor read the statement at the 6-5 meeting, upon which the resolution was reworded, I called up Rebecca Foster of the DEP, who stated the mayor was very angry and upset. However, Rebecca Foster did discuss the issues that the mayor was concerned about. So I just want to let the record reflect that there were issues, and those issues are still being considered as of today by the deputy advisors to the commissioner's office. The only dilemma right now is the rule changes with the DEP for comment period. Because of the Baykeepers lawsuit, the rules presently with the DEP are in flux, and until the new rules are in place, they have to make a determination as to whether to accept comments on issues related to the Seabright access plan. So again, I'll let the record speak for itself. The second issue involves the Oceanport Board of Education. Seabright taxpayers lost a beautiful opportunity. All members of the Oceanport Board of Ed adopted a resolution last week stating no regionalization. It was amended to satisfy the member of that board from Seabright, representing Seabright, stating, quote, no regionalization at this time. There were other board members who did not want regionalization forever. The fact was, the board attorney corrected them and told them, you can only adopt a resolution that will last till January of 2018, upon which the new board takes over, and new resolutions can be done with the old resolution null and void. However, keeping in mind, the mayor of Oceanport stated on the public record at a council meeting that Oceanport would come out on top with regionalization. Coming out on top by, number one, tax savings to the people, and number two, expansion of curriculum for students. Indeed, regionalization is a far more streamlined and advantageous than shared services would ever be. Colin Ribble, president of the Oceanport Board, did grandstanding from day one when he heard of the regionalization process. This is to remind the people of Seabright. There are people in Oceanport who have been energized by the concept of regionalization and the tax savings involved. There are people running for council in Oceanport that are now going to bring this to issue. So the matter of the resolution does not end the discussion of regionalization. It is a viable alternative. The problem with the Oceanport Board is they eliminated a viable alternative till January of 2018, thus allowing any of the other options to be fulfilled prior to the end of the year, putting possibly into handicap the taxpayers with a $30 million bond. The Oceanport Board of Ed, in total, should be ashamed of themselves. That's it.
Thank you. Any other remarks in the audience? I'm going to close the public portion. Just like to address Mr. Lepore, your comments with regard to the municipal public access plan. I was absent from the meeting of May the 16th, at which your comments on the record were that you had met with the DEP, that you had reviewed our public access plan, and the DEP had big problems with it, and that they would never approve it.
Major.
And I'm quoting from the recording of the meeting, because I wasn't here.
And I listened to it twice.
The next day.
Major issue.
The next day,
yeah.
Kerry Kirkflew, who is the Deputy Commissioner for Intergovernment Affairs at the DEP, was here in Seabright. And I had been told that you had voiced those concerns about our municipal public access plan on the record at the meeting. We had never heard any concerns nor received any correspondence with regard to the issues that you brought up, language, process, waiver, tidal waters. None of those issues were raised with us. Ms. Flew, Commissioner Flew, when she was here in Seabright, heard your comments because I wanted to hear them. So we actually played the tape so that she could hear it herself. At which point she brought that back to the DEP, back to Rebecca Foster. At that time, we were told that there are no issues with language, no issues with process, no issues with tidal water, and the word waiver does not even appear in our municipal public access plan. Therefore, in a back-and-forth process with our municipal clerk, our council, and the DEP, Ms. Rebecca Foster, in doing the public access plan, changes were made to our municipal public access plan draft. Before that time, somebody had released it, posted online, an incorrect copy appears on the stripersonline.com forum, and there's a lot of, now there is an incorrect copy floating around. So that was actually the issue that I was concerned about with the DEP, because I wanted to know who released a draft work product to the internet that was inaccurate, particularly with regard to issues that are important to fishermen, which actually our municipal public access plan speaks to a desire for more facilities to fishermen. Nevertheless, we received confirmation from the DEP that our municipal public access plan was adequate. There were no problems with the language. There were no problems with the process. There were no problems with the tidal waters, and there were no problems with the waiver. So if you're going to come here and bring those allegations to this council and imply that we have a problem or we have done something wrong, I would appreciate some proof. Thank you.
Prior to 5/16, I had three phone calls with Rebecca Foster.
She didn't share them with us, Fitz, and you're not representative of Seabright, so
I'm not
communicating with you.
That's the public trust doctrine. And you can't stop me from doing that.
I'm not trying to. I'm trying to expand public access. I don't appreciate people coming here and making misstatements on the record. Thank you.
There were no misstatements.
Oh,
I had three phone calls with Rebecca Foster.
That is not a meeting.
Prior to 5/16.
That is not a meeting.
And one phone call lasted for a half hour. One phone call on the issues of that specific plan. We went over the plan for one half hour.
Fine. That doesn't mean that there's a problem with process, language, or access to tidal waters. And if there were, the DEP would have notified us of such, and we have received no notification.
I was told to the contrary the day after 6-5 when you made your statement at that council meeting. I spent another 20 minutes on the phone with Rebecca Foster, who stated you were very angry and upset, and she cited issues that you discussed with her.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is our consent agenda.
We're going to go into executive session.
All right, let's make a motion to go into exec.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
We have to do our agenda. The regular order of business?
So moved.
Unless Mr. Keeler's back. Oh, we should wait for Mr. Keeler.
I did the other one. Is that there? Oh, right there. Wait, it's not.
You can't be surprised, though.
Forward. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We're resuming our regular agenda for the evening, beginning with our consent agenda. We need a motion to remove Resolution 119-2017 from the consent agenda.
Mayor, can we actually remove 119-2017, 113-2017, and the minutes from the consent agenda?
Would you like to make a motion to move the remaining consent agenda?
I will make that motion.
Okay, so we have the consent agenda minus...
Jack has something.
Go ahead. I just wanted to
say minus the minutes, minus 113-2017, minus 119-2017. Those are the change orders.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion on the remaining consent agenda.
I made the motion.
Do you need a second?
Second.
Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Amia?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Okay. Should I to address the minutes first, Councilman?
I wasn't here, so I can't borrow them.
Okay. So I need a resolution to approve the minutes from June 5th, 2017.
So moved.
Second.
Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Lamia?
I don't think I was there either, Mark.
I don't know.
No, I don't have to abstain.
Lexstein?
Abstain.
Rooney?
Yes.
You weren't here.
I wasn't?
No.
Oh, that was the Monday night. Yeah, yeah, no.
He abstains.
Okay. Motion carries.
That's you.
Now we have for separate vote, Resolution 113, 2017, as a renewal of the liquor license for 1030 Partners.
I'll make a motion.
Need a second?
Second, Jared.
I'm sorry, this is the...
Liquor license. Tommy's liquor license. We have a motion.
Well, why was it pulled?
We can't.
I'm sorry. Yes. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
And just to clarify, that's the revised wording?
The revised version.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lanya.
Yes.
Lexstein.
Abstain.
Rooney.
Yes.
Now we have Resolution 119, 2017, and this is for the change order number 5, relating to the bulkhead project.
Sarah?
Question?
Are there some discussion on it?
Yes. I had done some math, if you will, and I came up with different numbers. And I just checked with Fran, and just the revised number that we, is 1553545.95. That's the increase. And the overall increase in the project, and that's 1.8% increase over the original.
Can you say the number again?
1,553,545.95.
So you want that number reflected in the resolution?
Yes.
And Fran, you needed or asked?
There were two other things that, in talking to the contractor and getting him recommitted to starting January 10th and finishing the River Street bulkhead, you had stipulated that, you know, the extension of the contract time would go to September 1st. In talking through the issues with him, he was asking that we actually consider September 15th to give him an additional 2 weeks to get finished on River Street. He then went on to ask, and he submitted a letter very late today to my office that basically said, if in fact you have accepted the rest of my work, the road improvements, the drainage, the bulkheads at the other four locations, he's respectfully requesting that you consider reducing his performance bond by the amount of accepted improvements, but not for, I think it's $235,000 on the pump station itself. So I would recommend you consider that. I don't have an objection to it in the sense that all the other four bulkheads are finished. We went through them. There's no punch list. They are fully and finally accepted, and he's looking to free up his bonding capacity to bid on other projects now that we, you know, basically have bought and paid for the other locations and all the work has been deemed acceptable. So that's a request that he's asking it for you to consider tonight, to allow for us to release his, reduce his portion. Performance bond, a portion of his performance bond, just reflecting the accepted improvements.
And of course, Fran, we'll still get a maintenance bond for the full amount.
Yes, what it will do is do just that. You'll receive a full maintenance bond for the full amount for the next 2 years. So if there's anything that occurs in the next 2 year period, we're covered by that maintenance bond. We can make a call to him and he'll come back and repair whatever is defective at no cost to the borough.
I think that's a reasonable.
That's going to work. Councilman Keeler, what's the difference in the 1553 versus what it was?
The resolution says 1525.
Go.
Unchanged.
So just the math is wrong? I think it's...
Yeah.
That's correct. There was a typographical error that stated the wrong number when you double-check the math. The corrected, the new adjusted contract amount is the amount Councilman Keeler recited. I apologize. That's
Jack's trying to get Baskin's job.
Yeah, man.
Is Roger, what language would you recommend putting in there, council wants to consider?
The incorrect number's at second paragraph?
No, the big one at the bottom.
Down at the very bottom is the incorrect, the $1,590,945 is at the very bottom of the first page. The very bottom of the first page of your resolution has the wrong following.
I would suggest we just add a key to further resolve that the performance bond should be reduced to $235,000 to reflect the amount of accepted and completed improvements.
$235,000.
That would be the balance, that would be the remaining portion of the performance bond amount.
There are no negatives to doing that, right?
No, because we've accepted and paid for the balance.
Okay.
So it allows him to reduce his bonded, to increase his bonded capacity for other projects, which is, you know, fair request.
And I just reading through this, and please just clarify, for my own personal, there's a lot of ups and downs here, both on both ins and outs. What's the positive or negative on this change, final change request over the entire contract? What was the final?
I would state it this way, I have the math here, that the original contract amount, including the add alternate items that you selected to award, started at a value of $1,525,705. Okay, that's in the first, the second whereas, the end of the first, second whereas. So that's the, what's considered the original contract amount, including the alternate items. If you, then with the series of four change orders already approved, some of it increased, some of it decreased. If you approve change order number five tonight, your total increase will be $27,840.95 above the original contract amount of $1,525,705. And the $27,840 increase is 1.8% above the original contract amount.
And this is primarily for that concrete block that we had to remove, or?
No, primarily, the concrete block is the $18,750 in the change order number five, whereas statement. That's the amount for that particular item, and then you can see reflected through the other change orders, the increased amounts, as well as the reductions and deducts that we were able to realize during the execution of the work. There were some estimated quantities that just never got built or consumed, so those were savings back to the borough.
Now, there was no, I know you were speaking with the water company the other day, or who was doing that? Was it the water company?
The tiling is their contractor, the water company was the entity we met with.
Okay. And they weren't willing to help us out with that $18,000, with that concrete thing at all?
The project level folks were not committal, they would not commit the water company to that. They were going to take it back to their office, and I was going to follow it with a letter, making that request on behalf of the borough. But we didn't get a formal answer from the water company.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve that resolution as amended by Jack and suggested by Roger.
Second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lightstein.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Next up, new business and the voucher payment.
Just have a comment on vouchers. There was a last minute addition of $5,384. It depends which agenda you have, you'll show. And that was for a payment to BlackRock.
That's for what?
A payment to BlackRock on contract work on the streets up in North Beach. But so the total voucher amount would be $1,010,402.05. The difference of $5,300.
Thank you, Councilman.
I make a motion to accept it on the basis.
Needs a second.
I'll second it.
Councilmembers Birdsall.
Yes.
Keeler.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Lamia.
Yes.
Lightstein.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Moving on to council committee reports. First up, beach and grants, chaired by Councilman Lonnie.
Brief report, Mayor. We have started the shared services with Highlands on Saturday, and it's been well received so far. Junior lifeguard program registrations are at an all-time high with over 160 registrations for the two sessions. When the weather's been favorable, attendance has been really good. We just need the weather gods to help us. Dune committee meeting will be either July 15th or 29th to talk about what we can do in the future and consideration. And we have the best Audubon season in the history of Seabury with our friends on the beach, and we're working around that. Other than that, progress.
Thank you, Councilman. Next up, we have finance, insurance, court, and volunteer liaison, Councilman Keeler.
Yes, Mayor, very briefly, the budget's been working with Mike, of course, very well, going through it, no snags. The court seems to be going along well. And one update, or if you want to call it that, our loan is still being reviewed by FEMA with the possibility of canceling out. That's, again, still a process under review. My understanding is that several towns have gotten a favorable decision by FEMA, so that's something we should hear shortly, other than that, progress, Mayor.
Councilman? Next up, we have personnel, public relations, and recreation, chaired by Councilman Lexie.
The farmers market's off to apparently an extremely good start this year. They are reporting very high turnout, and the vendors seem to be very happy, even though the weather hasn't been always as great as anyone wanted it to be. I think they've had two sessions so far, and apparently they're just completely overjoyed. So a lot of people are coming in from out of town. It's what I'm being told anyway, that people are coming from out of town to go to the farmers market, and just people are very happy in general. So other than that, I just have, in the PR front, I did for our ever-expanding postcard collection of the town, I found another postcard, which I got on eBay. I'm going to donate it to the town. It's kind of cool. It's from 1905, and it, I've never seen one like this before. It opens up with a whole bunch of
really
cool pictures inside. So I'll put it in the postcard collection tonight.
That's awesome.
And other than that, progress.
I've never seen
anything like that.
That's
very cool.
Really
the fact that it's in one piece is
amazing. I know.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing.
And that's been the goal, is just to save this stuff, because you know, other people don't take care of it, and you're lucky if you can find it, and it's still in good condition. So.
It's amazing. That early on, it was that clever.
Mm-hmm.
To put that together. And you said, it's still in one piece.
So. You know, that was all done by hand, too.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next report is Public Safety Education Library, chaired by Councilman Room.
Just a quick one on the beach. July 22nd is the Andy Rooney 1 mile swim. And this year we are going to have a 1 and 2 mile, which is a big thing, because there's not too many towns that offer a 2 mile swim in the area.
Where's the 2 mile going to start? Or is it start at the same location and circling back?
Yeah, it's going to start a mile further, and it'll start a half hour sooner than the 1 mile. So the 2 mile people will catch up to the 1 mile, and I'll be doing the 2 mile.
It was great.
So that'll be fun.
You had a really good turnout last year, I remember.
Yeah, we had over 100. And with the 2 mile, the thing is that there are people that like to swim distances. They won't really travel for a mile swim, but they will travel for a 2 mile swim. So hopefully we're going to draw some people that we wouldn't have.
What's the date on that again?
July
22nd.
July 22nd. And just another thing on the beach. The weather gods, like Councilman Lamy said, have not been working with us, but it's amazing the training that they're doing over there. Mike Hudson and Don Klein. My son, this is his first year with Seabright, and he spent 2 years at Sandy Hook. And when you go out at Sandy Hook, you're like, it's intense. I mean, they have over 600 saves a year. Most people that go to Sandy Hook can't swim. But, you know, my son is really impressed. He didn't think he was going to be, you know, as challenged in Seabright. He likes to be, you know, challenged, Andrew. And he just said, you know, what Mike Hudson makes them do on the jet ski, pulling them, you know, with all the gear, getting them prepared for saves, all different types of situations. It's impressive. So I think we should be proud of our ocean rescue crew. Public safety, just a couple of things we're trying to do. We're really working hard to enforce the 30-minute parking. We're enforcing the paid parking. The situation I think that we have with the 30-minute parking is exactly what the chief said when we were talking about inputting it, is that we're not going to have enough guys to really enforce it. There are people that are complaining that we're overdoing it, but I think for the most part we don't have the manpower really to enforce it, because I really do believe it's a tremendous benefit for the businesses. So one of the things that I did suggest to the chief was maybe talking to the BSB, and maybe with the chief they could hire somebody, maybe certain days of the week when they think it's the worst, you know, where it's because with the staff that we have, if they're writing tickets for paid parking, and they're, I mean, writing tickets takes time, and it makes it difficult for these guys. You know, my mother complains to me sometimes, Holly, where, you know, this car's been sitting here for 40 minutes, you know, I'm like, wow, you know. But, so, you know, it's something to think about. I think if I was a business owner, you know, from Memorial Day to Labor Day, I think I would want to get together maybe with the other businesses and consider working with the chief and bringing somebody in. So I think that's something, you know, we should consider, maybe, I don't know. And then also with the garbage, you know, I kind of like got really gung-ho on this enforcing of our ordinance that says that you're not supposed to put your garbage out before 7 p.m. And especially on Sundays, you know, people put their garbage out at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It just doesn't look good, especially on Ocean Avenue. So we've been working hard to enforce that ordinance. It's sort of like just take pride in your town. You know, when people come from out of town to visit Seabright, and I don't think it's something that they want to be looking at on Ocean Avenue is people's garbage out at 2 or 3 in the afternoon on an 80-degree day. Other than that, public safety, progress, education, we spoke about the situation we have with Shore Regional. We're moving forward there, hopefully. And library, just progress.
A question on the swim. Is there a bad weather day or date after that, or is it?
Well, I think lightning, you know, or, you know.
I mean, that's something they can do.
I think it was, you know, you would just cancel it. I mean, a lot of people don't even sign up for the swim until the day of.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times, you know, okay. Some people just, you know,
okay.
Yeah, I don't, you know, because a lot of times there's going to be a swim the next day in another town. Okay. Usually there's swims on Saturdays and Sundays. Ocean Grove, Belmar,
right.
Seas, you know, so.
Yeah. I got you. Thank you.
Yeah. Progress, that's it.
Our next report is Public Works, Building Department, and Code Enforcement, chaired by Councilman Birdsong.
Okay, we got one new seasonal employment hire, Barry McKellar. He started on May 18th. Sean Thomas is our new working foreman. As I stated last time, he started on May 19th. The report I have is from May 17th to June 20th, so you'll get a couple little overlaps here, but the sanitary sewer main issue that we had down on South End by Marius Lane has been repaired. We did have a lateral leak, actually not a leak, but it wasn't connected properly to the adjoining house right there. So they had to go and dig it up and make that patch, which has been patched. Everything's good there. The beach has been set up. They've got the beach badge ticket booths out. The lifeguard stands have been put into place. They do have the mobility mats at each entrance now for the for some of the handicap entrances there. The bathroom facilities have all been stocked and ready to go. Let's see what else we got. The Peninsula parking lot has, they delivered some new stone in there and packed that down and relined that, so that was ready to go. So they moved some wooden parking stops and re-cinched them down in both the police, lot and in the Peninsula House lot. Let's see where else we got. They went through beach cleaning of the Seabright Public Beach. We are not able to yet put any type of mechanical equipment on the North Beach or South Beach, south of Driftwood or north of, what's the last beach club?
Ship Ahoy.
So we're not allowed to put any vehicular traffic on those beaches due to our feathered friends, except for between the, that little strip along, right along the seawall where they pick up garbage. That's the only place that we're allowed to. So it's just basically the lifeguards that are going out and picking up the garbage there. Other than that, we are not allowed to touch those beaches until almost the middle of August. So, thanks to our piping plovers. So,
it is, but
you know, the beaches are still kind of a bit of a mess because of the last storm we had. There's a lot of brush and reeds that washed up. So, unfortunately, it's something we have to deal with for this time, for the time being. So, what else? We did pull out an awful lot of that from that storm. We did pull off an awful lot of reeds and just refuse and whatever, what have you, flotsam and jetsam off the beach of that from that last storm back in the middle.
Just the municipal beach.
Yeah, just the municipal beach. They ended up like with four or five dumpsters worth. So it was a lot of stuff. It took them pretty much a majority of that week to clean that beach up. So. They put in a few more handicap and wounded warrior parking spaces in the main lot, working with the chief to outline where those are and put them up. They cleaned up some of the vegetation around Anchorage Beach parking lots and Borough Hall parking lots. Kylie Construction had they worked with them to repair some of the a couple sinkholes that appeared in River Street after the dewatering process from the water main that they put in there. So far, so good with those. I think they're holding, but we're keeping our eyes on them, make sure everything's okay there. Other than that, progress.
Thank you, President. Plan report, Seabright Recovery, Capital Plan, Flood Control and Beautification, shared by Councilman Kelly.
The Beach Pavilion project kicked off. Staging area has been set up for a couple weeks now. The contractor, they're finally getting their heavy equipment in place this week to start doing the pilings. And we have the borough has a progress meeting with them tomorrow. So we're hopeful that they're still going to be on schedule, finish by next year. Although the first couple of weeks have been a little slow and kicking off, but nonetheless, they'll be start to follow this week. The borough architect's still working on finishing the final plans, so we should go out to bid for the municipal project, and then we'll be able to review the bids and award that by this fall to get that project definitely moving along. And aside from that, brothers.
Thank you, Councilman. Just briefly, a couple things to bring to people's attention because they're coming up. The traditional skim bash skimboarding competition is this weekend. This is actually an event that's on the National Professional Skimboarding Tour. Two-day competition that takes place on our beach this weekend. The farmer's market was mentioned, but I also wanted to highlight for people who like this kind of thing that Seabright offers free yoga on the beach, 7 p.m. every Thursday. So you go to the farmer's market and then get your yoga. We do have the 4th of July holiday coming up. So this year, Borough Hall is going to be closed on July 3rd and July 4th in honor of the holiday. After today, we moved to summer schedule. That means we have one council meeting in July, that is July 11th, and one workshop meeting, July 13th. In August, we'll have one council meeting, that will be August 1st, and one workshop, August 10th. Anything else, I think, has been covered. So we come to the end of our agenda. So I welcome...
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.